Ladies and gentlemen, if you found us, welcome to the bottom of the internet. Have a beer.
Did you hear that? Okay.
I don't know. Did you just fart into the mic?
Oh, it sounds like he answered all of life's problems.
Oh right my god, that's... All right, what do we got going over here? Let's start with the drink roll call. Jed Evans.
Okay. I'm rocking with some wine because that's what I'm doing right now.
And that's why he's doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, not exactly. Wine is good, man.
I will be in Napa Valley. No joke. This Sunday, I am doing a wine tour in Napa Valley with my girlfriend and some other friends. We're going to be in a limo in Napa Valley sampling wine. I should be drinking wine to get myself stoked. But I'm not.
So what's the occasion?
The occasion is going to San Francisco, doing a...
With flowers in your hair?
With flowers in my hair. I'm going to leave my heart there while I'm in the joint. I also have to say, Three Philosophers Belgian Style Blend is a... I don't even know where to start. I was excited about this from the get-go, but now I'm in love. I'm in love, you guys. This is pretty exciting.
Darren knows about this ball?
Oh no, this is more of a mistress kind of situation.
Where did you see this?
I met her a couple hours ago at a local liquor store. This is Three Philosophers. I'm sorry? I met her at a liquor store a few blocks from my apartment. It's a Belgian style blend. Speaking of my girlfriend Erin, who studied abroad in Belgium and has imposed her love of Belgian beer to myself. This is Belgian style, it's not Belgian. This is from Cooperstown, New York. Again, it's called Three Philosophers. It is 98% Belgian style ale, but 2% ale with cherries added. So what we're dealing with here is this hint of cherry, not enough to be fruity in more sense than one, but enough to where you can taste kind of a almost bitter cherry taste, bitter hoppy cherry aftertaste that's really unique. I've never tried anything like this. And there's a little quote on the side here said, creating by blending a rich malty Belgian style ale with authentic Krek, a classic cherry ale from Belgium. Our quadruple is cultured yet wild, curious yet wise. And remember, philosophy begins in wonder. That's a Plato quote. There's a quote from Plato on my beer, so that's where I'm at. Hondro, how about yourself?
Well, first off, let me congratulate you on a fine choice of beer, because I personally have had Three Philosophers, and it's been one of the beverages I've ever had.
Oh yeah, this is the real deal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's the real deal. I personally went for something a little more local, as I tend to do, supporting the local brewing and whatnot. But I got a little Dogfish Head, but not just any Dogfish Head. I got the 90-minute Imperial IPA, which is some strong stuff.
Oh dear.
Yes, we're
talking about like double-digit alcohol content.
Almost, it's 90%. So I might as well be drinking a glass of wine.
I think you mean 9%.
I said 9%.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so then we're both right.
Anywho, so what we have here is an Imperial India Pale Ale featuring a single constant 90-minute composition. It's balanced by a ridiculous amount of English two-row barley. Then we dry hop it in every tank. Personally, I think they just put a very tasty beer and soaked it in extra alcohol. That's what I'm drinking right now because I've had about two of these and I'm feeling it, guys. It's feeling pretty good. I like it.
Good.
I'm glad about that. That's awesome.
That's always good. And you know what? I do have to say, I trump you just a little bit. I've got a 9.8 alcohol by volume situation going on here, so. Anyways, guys, that's beside this point. Hondro, I love the fact that you
pregame the podcast.
I think that's kind of what we're all about. I think you exemplify Wednesday is for comics and bleed Wednesday is for comic juice. To the production values of film in some cases, and in some very specific cases, TV has actually managed to be a better involving and truly epic experience than film can provide, just simply by the extended format of a serialized drama or comedy or whatever. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And Alejandro, I want you to talk about Some of the TV out there that's going to be airing this fall. Let's hear what you're thinking about. What are you excited about?
Wow. Where to start? Well, I am excited, but I'm going to leave this to you, about The Walking Dead. I'm going to leave you to it. I'm just saying that I'm excited about it because I've heard so many good things from you about it. So that's
is
one.
This a zombie TV show?
Oh, yeah.
It is. And I'm sure John is going to have a 5 or 10 minute rant about it, so I'll leave that to him.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, seriously, I'm going to take up some time on that one. You might want to move on.
All right, so two others, and I will take my time on, please. One is Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Whew.
Starts around mid-September, so only a couple weeks away. And honestly, I love Always Sunny in Philadelphia. What a hilarious show. I don't think it gets as much credit as it deserves. A lot of people do like it, but I don't think a lot of people understand the real mechanics behind the show. I mean, I really do think they put a lot of thought process into the show.
I think that show I think it's the first 3 or 4 seasons, it had a small but loyal fan base. And I do feel that it's exploded. I think it's gotten very popular. It's not going anywhere. It'll be around.
Anyway, and I think they signed off for 2 more seasons, and I'm sure we'll keep going after that because these guys are aware.
Oh.
And I guess, yeah, at the beginning it didn't have so much of a following. Now everybody knows the show, and it's very well deserved. Danny DeVito is a freaking comical genius. And one thing that people don't realize, I think a lot of people have started watching the show maybe towards the end. Now that it's become so popular, maybe it's crossed the last couple seasons. I really think that even though it's a comedy, just the devolution of the unevolution, whatever. Anyway,
evolution.
Thank you. the devolution of the characters is ridiculous. They started off in the first season as horrible people, and have progressively gotten worse and worse. It's like the scum of the earth, and it's just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I think it's alarmingly relatable for a certain subset of society, of which we've touched. You know, I'd like to say that none of us are there, but we know people from Richmond University in our respective high schools that have reached that wonderful realm of debauchery and complete awfulness that these characters in this show have reached, and it's relatable just enough for us to find it funny, even though it's really like sad and awful the places those characters go sometimes. See some of that violent nudity.
Let's get to the heart of the matter. Exactly what you're watching this show for.
Just slapping people with your boobs and dick.
You said it. I wasn't going to, but.
Yeah, whatever. Go on.
Who's
going to
be slapping people with their boobs and dick? What?
I don't know. Somebody. I don't know. I don't care. Just film it.
You guys disturbed by this or not, but I'm disturbed by anybody that can slap somebody with their boobs and their dick.
I didn't mean at the same time or the same people. But that'd be violent too. That might even be more violent. You know what?
Do both of those things, I do not know you.
I'd like to have a talk. I'd like to talk to you. You'd be certainly very interesting. But no, Hondro, go ahead.
Anyway, so as many of these HBO shows have discovered, the key to success is a strong cast, a strong story, a strong lead man, all of which the show has, and of course, don't forget about the gratuitous violent nudity.
The gratuitous violent nudity.
And you have an amazing show.
A good cast, a good story, punctuated by some violent nudity.
You know, Hondro, I think you're missing a very important detail about this show. This is the first show created and executive produced by Martin Scorsese.
Oh, that's fair.
That is a highly important detail.
Well, Scorsese didn't make, you know, not everything he made was all that.
Yeah, but he did. He made the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. No, he
made them.
He turned them into famous.
No, he turned them into people. He turned them into a band, and he made them famous, and it was all just for this documentary, which nobody's even seen. But he, you know, that was his plot, you know. Don't question Scorsese, that's what I always say. Scorsese works in mysterious ways. It's down to me. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. The change has come, she's under my thumb. To my thumb, the squirming dog who's just had her day. Under my thumb, a girl who has just...
You definitely have to give credit to Scorsese, the fact that he's making her show. It's awesome because, aside from like maybe one or two movies here and there, the man has made art his entire life. We're talking about books like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull,
Goodfellas, Casino, Gangs of New York, more recently The Departed, Shutter Island, which I still have not seen. We talked about it at a more recent podcast.
Oh, Shutter Island, great. By the way, just to clarify, I want to go back to that point about, it's called Martin Scorsese Presents the Blues. It's a mini-series, but it's also a series of CDs that chronicles each blues art.
Well, that's interesting because Martin Scorsese did present the blues to the world when he invented it. More Scorsese works in mysterious ways. I mean, he's really up there with the composer John Murphy, aka RoboCop, just in his simple ability to control all things. I mean, God probably gets a little mad at Scorsese and RoboCop, a little jealous in how they can really do. But Scorsese, the premise for that show, Boardwalk Empire, you hear the premise and you see that it's executive produced by Martin Scorsese starring Steve Buscemi, and it sounds like a slam dunk. I mean, I haven't even seen the trailer for it, but it sounds like guaranteed success. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but that's kind of exciting. I'm definitely planning on watching the at least the first episode or two of that, and if it holds me, I'm game. I'm down.
Well, I think
I might.
One last point I will make on Scorsese, and then let's hear about John's personal selection of shows he's excited about.
All right, put another point on Scorsese.
Scorsese, he never won Best Picture until The Departed, and I feel like that award was long due to him. He probably should have gone for that back, possibly with Raging Bull. I thought that was an amazing movie, Black and White. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It was one of De Niro's first, I think it was really his big debut as an actor, I could be wrong, but an amazing Black and White movie. And on to you, John.
Yeah.
Let me add one comment about Raging Bull that I thought was really extraordinary about that movie. You know how De Niro, the first scene, is at the club owner, and he's been kind of out of boxing for a long time, totally out of shape, big smoker, drinking all the time, the club food, and he's basically like the guy, the fat guy at the beginning is De Niro, 60 pounds heavier. Then when De Niro's in his boxing stage later in the movie, and he's cut like a rock. And that actually, I'm not sure he won an award, but I think that started a standard in Hollywood of a lot of actors, kind of like, you know, if you look at like the, you know, the evolution of that whole trend, like Tom Hanks in
Castaway.
Castaway.
You see that more like Charlize Theron and Monster. The whole like trying to make yourself ugly on purpose to win an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. One of the things I did want to point out, just after hearing what you said, Andre, was Scorsese's overdue Oscar, and it just makes me think about how political the Oscars really are, and how stupid they are to say, like, you know, this is the official best movie of the year. It's completely subjective and absolutely ridiculous, and there's so much politics involved. I mean, these other Scorsese movies you could just as easily say were fantastic, that have endured the test of time better. The Oscars is really just a big circle jerk. Like, it's bullshit. I really try not to care about the Oscars as much as possible because of just how stupid it truly is.
It really is, you know, and follow that up with the Emmys, and even the Grammys, you know.
Miss
like,
Universe. It's like, we don't even know, you know? She may be Miss Universe, but we don't know for sure. Sorry, go on, Jed.
You know, if you look at it, like, the award shows, they're like, the Grammys basically ignored hip-hop and rap for so long that artists like Will Smith and a bunch of other rap artists completely boycotted.
Well, you can imagine how I felt. No, go on.
And Dr. John Dudley.
I'm not doing this. The Emmys finally called me after years of neglect, and I was like, you know what? I'll be there immediately. I can't wait. I've been waiting for this call forever. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I am so passionate about it. This Three Philosophers is kicking my ass, gang.
Stand here. Alright, I think the Steph has got the point across about how us at Wednesday is the comics completely deplore the whole idea of the Oscars and how the Academy can go fuck themselves.
They can go fuck themselves.
Stop asking for any fucking mother.
I don't know what you said, Jed, but
you know
it sounded passionate and wonderful.
The Academy can go fuck itself. Now,
whoa!
TV's
been awesome lately. We're living in an age, the past like 5 or 6 years in particular, where TV has really caught up to films and production values. And it's kind of insane the number of choices we have out there. And I wanted to talk about a show that Andro briefly touched on, a little show called The Walking Dead. First episode, Halloween night. That same episode is directed by Frank Darabont, the director of The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, and countless other awesome, incredibly badass movies. He's also the executive producer of the entire series. This is going to be on AMC, the home of such shows as Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Speaking of Emmys, they kind of swept the Emmys, those shows in particular. Walking Dead starts Halloween night, and it's already been renewed for a second season before it even airs, which has only happened a handful of times in the history of television. This is because they've shown these shows to the network execs and to a few focus groups, and the response has been so overwhelmingly positive that they've renewed it for a second season already, which is pretty cool. This is a show that's based on a comic book series by Robert Kirkman. This guy is criminally underappreciated because the comic industry itself is criminally underappreciated. A lot of folks out there play video games and watch movies based on comics, but reading comics is still kind of a weird taboo thing if it's not mainstream. But Robert Kirkman has been writing this series for about 10 years now. And Frank Darabont, the executive producer, is a huge fan of his and put all his weight in Hollywood behind this project. And it's they're putting the money, resources, and the talent behind this to really get it started. And I think it's safe to say that, I mean, considering the fact they've already renewed it for a second season, this is going to be a big deal. And as I myself have read this series it's based on, I know for a fact all they have to do is film what's essentially already a storyboard from the comic book. All they need to do is film that, and this shit's gonna blow up. And I think it's
safe to say that that's a guarantee. That's my guarantee.
This shit will blow you away in a good way.
This shit will blow you while you're watching it. That's how good it is.
You guarantee that?
I actually can't guarantee that. That was, getting ahead of myself. This three philosophers has attacked my brain. Let's, take a short break, gentlemen. I didn't take no shortcuts. I spent the money that I saved up. Oh, mama running out of luck. But like my sister don't give a fuck. I wanna steal your innocence. Show me my life that don't make sense. A strange man as I love him so. Why won't you wear your new trench coat? I'm losing it a little bit here. I'm unhinged, to say the very least. Long story short, Walking Dead is gonna be a big time. It's gonna be a huge show. I can't wait. I can't wait for everyone to talk about how awesome it is. And I'm just gonna be nodding my head like, yeah, I know. I'm definitely gonna play the part of the holier than thou smug jerk. Jack off, who's just like, I have read that, those, actually I've been reading the graphic novels, they're badass. Imagine the best zombie movie ever made, taking the themes of the fear of death, you know, representing you face to face. Imagine that in a serialized format. It's gonna be super scary, but also very emotionally impactful. All at once, and from what I've seen on the trailer, which I'll put on the website, check out the trailer for the Walking Dead show. It's going to be awesome. I've gone on way too long. I want to talk to Jed Evans about television. Jed, tell us about TV and your specific philosophy towards television, because it's interesting,
and I
respect it.
A lovely relationship with TV. You know, over the winter, you know, it gets pretty cold here in Minneapolis. I actually had a little bit of an addiction where I had a little bit of a monkey on my back, and that monkey's name was Long.
Oh, that
was a major big deal. Because let me tell you something, I basically got hooked on Lost probably, you know, early 2009, and then summer 2009, then around November, when I got to my new place and really didn't have much else going on, I was like, let me just watch one episode. And so I was only up to season two at that point. Long story short, I basically got addicted like crack to Lost. And, you know, so I basically get out of work on Friday. I go out, have some beers. I wake up hungover on Saturday and be like, I got to put some work today. And 8 hours later, I was still watching Lost.
Craig, is it a cause, a metaphor, or a crash?
So, you know, I don't know.
A call for help?
I mean, it is now.
There's definitely subliminal messaging about the black smoke monster that I'm sure kept me hooked. But...
Ooh, that's a great move.
I'm spending Saturday. sure if I'm okay with that, you know, and I still haven't even watched the last four episodes. That's crazy, right, huh?
No, that's not crazy at
all. I got that whole monkey on my back, and then I, you know, basically dropped it four episodes from the end. But, you know, my point being here, guys, is let's talk about the greatest show of all. And we're not talking about TV here. Let's talk about real life.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever watched that show.
Until, you know, like, MTV starts filming my life, I'm not going to pay attention. That's my
yeah, I'm not gonna pay attention to this shit.
Oh yeah. I'm up on the 11th floor and I'm watching the cruisers below. It's down on the street and it's trying hard to force us to flow.
I haven't been watching much TV, but I'll tell you what, I've been going out to some shows. I've been to First Avenue.
I've seen TV before, and it, I'm telling you right now, it's got nothing on puppet shows. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Oh, wait, what I'm trying
yeah,
to
that
is,
the dancing man on TV is great, but have you seen a puppet?
20,000 people that would beg to differ.
Go on, Hondra. Come on, be brave. Go.
Alright, guys. I need to add to the ad.
That's the thing. Like, you yell at the TV and you don't realize you're talking to a box.
Yeah.
That's what most people don't understand.
I don't understand.
I don't understand what
you're
talking about.
I don't understand.
What are you yelling about?
Loud noises! Hondro, tell me about one more show you're excited for.
I love that. I love that.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
This is all a hundred time, Greg. So, I was going to say that I'm a little bit ashamed, but I have not been following the new Mad Men.
You know what? Neither have I. And I do absolutely love that show. I think that show is brilliant. And I think a lot of people may scoff at it because it is so popular. But I think those same people haven't given it the chance that it deserves because it's a brilliant show. Go ahead, Hondra.
Well, I was just going to say yes, absolutely. I think it's one of the best written shows on TV. How about that?
Boom.
And the acting is amazing. The stories are compelling, and not to mention that the actresses are uber hot. And you know what I like best about the show? It's that it's about a time in America that everybody kind of looks back, and at least anybody that sees old advertisements from the time or like propaganda from the time, they just kind of think, wow, things were so simple back then. Life is good. Why can't we have it like we had it back then? Yeah, there's almost like a sense of nostalgia for like the old days. And you just come to realize that every age and time just comes with its own set of problems. So this was an era where, women had it rough, and men had it rough in their own way. I mean, there was very much unhappiness in the country. It was just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Hidden.
No, and I think you hit on an important theme, and I'm about to blow your mind here, but Mad Men is it's no coincidence that it takes place in an ad agency, and you're talking about nostalgia and nostalgia / propaganda. It's an ad agency that's selling the idea that everything is perfect, and this is post World War II, post Korean War America, where these veterans are all raising their children and just trying to live the good life. And this television was blowing up, more and more American households were having television. And it was when the advertising agencies were truly becoming influential and were actually able to sell an image of the perfect society and the perfect life. And that's what the show is all about, is the deconstruction of this concept that there ever was a point in our history that was perfect. And the fact that it takes place in an ad agency is, you know,
central to that theme.
Genius?
It's genius. It's genius. It's selling this idea that, you know, we all, even us that were not born in that time period, have been, have grown up to believe that there was this point where everything, you know, where, you know, it was like the white picket fence, perfect household. And this is, this show is just like a middle finger to that entire concept, and really does do a great job of showing you that there's never, perfection is never existed. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous to even think that for a second.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think it stems from the fact that people just, you know, were kind of disillusioned by the whole fact that, you know, there's a huge scale war.
Relatively speaking, you know, yeah, it was great.
70% of the world, and, you know, it's kind of like, where do you go after that? You know, where's your base?
You go to the grocery store, dude. You buy stuff for your family. You just try to live your life. But, man.
Exactly. And so, you know, they kind of try to cling on to this ideal image because, you know, you basically slingshot back the other direction after everything has been shattered. What do you go for? It's the, you know, the safest stuff. It's the, you know, the thing that you're told that you should believe in.
Oh, family. Yeah. I mean, no, it you know, it shows that there was a firm commitment to family and family ideals, obviously, after this huge war. But it shows you that the, you know, the failings of the human condition, you know, the show gets into these wonderful concepts. It's a great show, and it's a truly wonderful example of the things we were talking about before, where television has come, that a feature-length film could touch on these subjects, but a serialized drama like Mad Men can really explore them and take them further than you can actually get in film. And that's why I think it's worthwhile for us to talk about TV, because it's not, you know, it's not mindless entertainment. I mean, there's some, not just some, you know, rarely seen shows out there. There are some very popular shows that are worth... Yeah. Worth all the excitement they've generated.
Yeah, you know, my feelings are feeling. True from the heart, you know. Uh-huh.
This is a point of no contention. I think this is a point that everyone can agree with. And you know, the beautiful part about it is she's a woman with curves. She's a little bit bigger woman, and I like it, and I think a lot of people do. And I think it's almost shaken up Hollywood a little bit, how popular she is, and it's cool. You know, I it's great to see. I could watch a lot more of it. That's neither here nor there.
No, that's here and it's there.
It's everywhere.
You know what? I've had it with these skinny models with no real curves to them.
Dude, I see ads here in downtown Chicago with these models, and my thought is there's nothing sexy about it.
Real life.
There's nothing sexy about it. In fact, it can be quite disgusting. I've literally seen ads on the walls that are disgusting, like truly.
Okay. And you have a beautiful, gorgeous, natural beauty like Christina Hendricks, and she is just all woman. She's got the curves, she's got the hourglass figure, and it honestly inspired me to bring forth a revolution. We're going back to the old way. We're no longer will be shown.
The revolution will be on Wednesday Is for Comics podcast.
It will be podcasted.
Just make sure that you fight, for God's sake.
One fucking cartoon the entire time. Entire world of cartoons out there that I believe that we need to talk about. And you know what? I understand that there's crazy commercials during cartoons for like Captain Crunch and fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch and all that shit, but you know, and Snuggies and fucking food and shit. But it's
we live in an age.
For you to avoid that entire genre has honestly got me a little pissed off.
Dooby dooby doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby dooby doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby doo, I see you. Pretend you got. What's that word?
I mean, I think that, you know, Mad Men, can go fuck yourself. Johnny Quest.
Ooh.
Sliver.
That is for TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a Johnny Quest tribute show. It's called Venture Bros. Venture Brothers. A lot of people haven't watched it. It's on Adult Swim.
Johnny Quest tribute show, dude.
It is literally a show modeled after Johnny Quest with adult humor. It is on Cartoon Network and it is fucking brilliant. It is incredible. There's another, there's so many cartoons out there that if I wasn't too embarrassed to do, I would just pretty much watch all day, every single day. Honestly, if I could, I would watch the shit out of this stuff. The only time I would ever even leave the house would be like to buy some more Fruity Pebbles because I just saw the commercial for it. But no, Venture Brothers is an incredibly awesome show. It's hilarious. Based off of Johnny Quest, I would say 90%, it's like, I would say it's 80% Johnny Quest and 20% like Family Guy. And the combo, it's like a 1-2 punch, dude. Jed, you would actually
blend it all together. Just me for the record, I have every comic book that I've ever owned and it's all in plastic, and eventually, I think that I'm going to make $1 million.
No, you won't. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that. See, the reason I got into comics because my brother has the collector mentality, and he would buy comics and put them in the plastic wrap, and I'd be the little, you know, 8-year-old brother that would open them and read them, and my brother would walk in like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I'd be like, "I'm reading your comic books." Like, yeah. As soon as people, like, same thing with baseball cards, man. As soon as people started thinking, like, I'm buying this because it's a collector's item, game over. Like, it no longer does it have any value whatsoever. Because...
game over, man.
It's game over.
Game over, man. Best quote out of Alien ever.
That's Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman. Lieutenant Hicks.
Paxton, that's Bill.
Oh, whatever, dude. They're pretty similar.
That's damn it, John. I expect more.
Hey, at least I got the character's name right. No, Corporal Hicks. Corporal Hicks.
No, Corporal Hicks is the main character. That was the Huskers.
Was it really?
Yeah. Corporal Hicks was the guy from Terminator. That was the main character of the film. Thinking about Huskers.
I think you're wrong, dude.
Dude, I'll bet you $1 billion right now.
Oh my god. Wednesdays for Comics just racking it up, man. We got a $1 billion bet. It's Corporal Hicks is Bill Paxton's character in Alien.
No, I'll bet you. I'm seriously gonna bet you some money right now.
Alright. No, that I don't even have that. $20.
$25. Alright, $25.
All right, Corporal Hicks,
yeah,
Bill Paxton's character.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Oh, all shit.
Right. Google it right now. Bill Paxton, character in Alien.
This is a big deal. Who did you think it was, Hondro?
Hudson.
And you thought it was Corporal Hicks.
Corporal Hicks.
And Corporal Hicks is played by the same character as the guy that played the Terminator guy. I forget what his name is. He's a good actor, but... never made it big. Underappreciated, I believe.
Some guy. Wait a minute, Jed. So don't you know someone from your hometown who at one point actually hooked up with Linda Hamilton, the actress who played Sarah Connor? didn't you say that? Did she beat him up before?
So what I'm trying to get at here is...
Bleep!
Is the father of John Connor.
Whoa! Oh, I didn't even catch that. Oh my god, dude, that's a big deal.
Alright. We're playing off on a huge thing right here.
No.
Just so that we can be clear.
I can't confirm that information at all, but I do know she's from Sullivan, Maryland, and she went out on a date with
Bleep.
At one point, yeah.
Oh, so we're not, so that's a little different.
I don't know what happened after that. You know, timeline, you know, time, space, continuum aside, I know they went out on a date. I don't know if he's the source of John Connor. Obviously, I can't
bleep
God from the Hamilton, but they did go out on a date. She's from my hometown, basically. Well, from, you know, my family's hometown.
Wow. All right, so I've got up. Uh-oh.
IMDb, yes. Private William Hudson, played by Bill Paxton.
Oh, shit.
Private William Hudson is the name, yeah.
That being said, Corporal Hicks is in the movie.
Hey, Corporal Dwayne Hicks, as I said, is played by Michael Biehn, who was the guy in the first Terminator.
God. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, so, John, don't forget to put in $25 in the mail.
Thanks.
Attention, Dr.
Andra. Son of a bitch. I'll put it in your Twilight account. Credit card that you have specifically for buying Twilight related expenses. I'll funnel it directly into that account. Wow, dude, I'm pretty drunk. We need to end this podcast with three words that 99% of anybody who could potentially listen to this will have no idea what they mean. But by this time next year, they will. Winter is coming.
You're talking about The Walking Dead?
No, dude. I'm talking about a little thing called Game of Thrones.
Oh my god! Man. Oh, dude.
Game of Thrones?
Winter is coming and you don't even know it, dude. Winter is coming in Game of Thrones, which is going to be a show airing on HBO this fall, which is adapted by the utterly brilliant novels of George R.R. Martin.
Brilliant and fucking evil. But we need to get something straight. It's not this fall, it's next fall. Fall of 2011.
Is that when it airs?
Well, it's definitely 2011. I don't know if it's...
No. You know, I don't even know. Dude, I'm so drunk. I don't remember what I said. But I think it actually airs. It's going to start airing in, like, May. So actually, like, late spring, early summer of 2011.
Ooh. Great. Why don't we...
Let's Let's check. Let's ask the Wednesday is for Comics robot.
Yeah, that's 2011.
That's right. We have a robot.
In 2011.
Thank you.
When Game of Thrones will be aired.
Thank you, robot. No, Wednesday.
Welcome.
Game of Thrones is a show that's
going
to be aired.
You are a faggot.
Damn it, robot.
You are so gay.
Robot, this is going to work, dude. This friction. Game of Thrones is going to be airing on HBO, and it's adapted from not the book, but the series of books by George R.R. Martin. I would call it, I don't even know what, I don't know, it defies genre, it defies expectation. It is, if filmed properly, which from what I hear, from what I've read, it is being filmed properly. I am going to make the prediction that this show, Game of Thrones, is going to be the biggest show on HBO by this time next year. From post-podcast John here. This is when we lost Jed. He will be forever missed. Until he's inevitably back in a few weeks. He just got jumped off Skype, that's all. He's fine. He's healthy, he's doing well, I promise. Alright, so I think we've had some tangents. I think we had a safe amount to drink. A strong amount.
A very strong amount. I'd say strong to extremely strong.
Yeah, I would say we've had a little drunk cast here, but the point remains. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of exciting stuff, and we're all very excited.
Extremely excited.
Super excited. We lost Jed. Jed got kicked off the podcast. Don't know what happened, but we miss him.
It was the bouncers. They didn't understand.
Sometimes I wish we didn't have all these bouncers on our podcast. It's an intimidating presence to have standing by your computer, and it doesn't even really make sense. But you know, we're paying for them, so we're not gonna get rid of them.
Exactly. Look, they're pretty friendly if you really ask them to. Bobby, sit down. They are friendly.
Yeah, well, you clearly have a much better podcast bouncer than I do. I'll be walking towards the fridge, and it'll like give me the eye. It's intimidating shit, man.
Well, just remember who writes the checks.
I wish I could. I wish I could. I don't know where this money is coming from, but you know, we live off it, so thank God it's there.
Let's just hope the bank never find that.
Some sort of clerical error. We're still getting checks. We don't know where they come from. But I digress. The fact of the matter is Wednesdays for Comics is a great place to be, and I'm glad we're here. So was Hondro, and so was our distinguished guest, Mr. Jets. Mr. Jed. We're looking forward to having you back, but Jed, you were awesome. Thanks, everybody.